Welcome to Free Exchange, the Badger Institute's free market podcast that keeps you informed about the important issues facing Wisconsin. I'm Michael Jarr, Vice President for Communications and Government Relations, and I am accompanied by our tireless producer and cutting-edge digital marketing strategist, Matt Erdman. Matt, thanks as always for making us sound good, and happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I do have a birthday coming up. And I must say, Michael, it's good to kind of be back in the saddle with you due to just some of the podcasts that we had recorded in batches. I feel like it's been a while since we've had some time to sit down and talk about the important things that are on the radar in Wisconsin. So I'm very much looking forward to this time together again.
I am as well. And as always, we have terrific guests today. They are Senator André Jacques, representing Wisconsin's Senate District Number 1, which probably has to be one of the nicest districts in the state. I mean, the entire state of Wisconsin is fantastic, but you have the majority of Door County, and that's just a beautiful area.
Yeah, they actually rank the Senate districts by quality. So very pleased.
So you're number one. Fantastic. Senator Jacques is on one of our favorite committees, the Committee on Licensing, Constitution, and Federalism. So Senator Jacques, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks, Michael.
We also have with us Representative Shay Sortwell, Chairman of the Committee on Regulatory Licensing Reform. In the final months of 2022, Representative Sortwell participated in a Legislative Council Study Committee on Occupational Licenses. Who says that public service isn't glamorous?
Well, there's nothing more exciting than getting into the nitty-gritty of occupational licensing, I'll tell you. But you know, what's amazing about it is while you never really know that it's going on until you can't manage to get that license, and then it really is impactful on your life.
That is exactly right. That's one of the main reasons I wanted to have you both on to talk about this today, because a lot of Wisconsinites just don't give any thought to licensing. And for most people, their eyes would probably glaze over at the mention of the topic until it impacts them. And it really impacts a lot more people in Wisconsin in a lot more ways than they probably realize. Representative Sortwell, the committee you served on was made up of legislators and licensed professionals who were together examining occupational credentials that could be eliminated, reforms that could be implemented, and legislation that could address the numerous challenges that are associated with occupational licenses, which some people refer to as a state permission slip to work. So tell me a little bit, Representative Sortwell, tell our listeners who haven't given this much thought, what is occupational licensing and why should they care?
Sure. Well, occupational licensing is basically a system that's set up, and there's multiple various forms of it. But basically the idea of it is, as you said, it is a permission slip, but there's some justification for it. I mean, it depends on your perspective, I suppose. But basically, the idea of it is there is somebody else that's kind of double checking and making sure that the occupation that you are involved in, you are actually qualified to perform that job. So, for instance, we license doctors, and you have to have a medical license to be a doctor here in Wisconsin, as well as every other state in the United States. So that's the basic idea of it. But part of the problem with it is the more we regulate it, just like so many other aspects of our lives, the more it gets regulated, it does create a barrier for people trying to get into the workforce. And so what we need to try to be doing is making sure that we are minimizing this barrier as much as we possibly can, while still, yes, trying to protect the public, generally speaking, making sure there's not bad actors out there. And it's a tough line to walk. It's tough to try to find that balance sometimes. But you know, as the chairman of the licensing committee in the assembly, and Jacques with this licensing committee over the Senate, that's kind of one of our main jobs is to try to find that line and try to make sure we can move those reforms forward.
There, over the years, seems to be growing bipartisan and scholarly recognition that licensing often limits employment opportunities by fencing people out of occupations, particularly those on the lower end of the economic ladder. It also raises prices for consumers. It can stifle innovation. It can hinder worker mobility, and often, at times at least, does not provide any benefit to public health and safety, which is the real justification for having state credentialing. So, Senator Jacques, one of the challenges is that the state requires about 1 million Wisconsinites to receive one of 280 different credentialing types before they can practice their occupation. And between 1996 and 2016, the number of fields requiring government certification increased by 84%, which is just remarkable growth in terms of just any form of state regulation. And I don't think it was because, you know, auctioneers were harming just dozens of people across the state, and there was a state clamor, we must rein in these out of control auctioneers. It's more often than not the professions themselves that come to the legislature and say, we want to be licensed. So with all of that growth, we now have, you know, to become an animal trainer, a dance therapist, a landscape architect, a butter maker, a manicurist, a bartender, an elevator helper, a barber, a taxidermist, a soil erosion inspector, just to name a few. These are the things that we require in Wisconsin you to get a license or a credential for before you do the work. Perhaps as a result of that, we've seen a pretty significant backlog in the Department of Safety and Professional Services, often known as DSPIS. Is that why we're having this problem? Is it that we just have too many occupations that are licensed? Is it, as some would argue, that DSPIS just doesn't have enough personnel? Senator Jacques, what do you think is the issue here, and how do we address it?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, certainly there's some of what you were talking about in terms of professions fencing others out, making it a little bit more difficult to gain entry into certain areas. And certainly when you look at the level of barriers that we have with the DSPIS leading to a lot of those licensing delays that you just referenced. I mean, there's a lot of different hoops to jump through, which is why a lot of work I've done legislatively has focused on interstate compacts, and certainly reciprocal licensing. The legislation that we got done a few sessions ago dealing with veteran spouses, reciprocal licensing, but I've also introduced the last few sessions legislation similar to what Arizona has in place to recognize licenses from any other state. And I'll give you some great examples of the need for this legislation, because we talk about the workforce challenges here in Wisconsin, and certainly there are great needs in the on the trades, in construction, everything like that. Well, you know, my dad is a master plumber before he retired. And I became aware of somebody who actually lived just outside of my district, but because I worked on a lot of things in the area, he was working at the sausage factory in Denmark. He was delivering pizza after that in De Pere. And the guy had just outstanding credentials as a plumber doing high-end projects in Cook County, had passed the test with flying colors. But when he had to move up to Northeast Wisconsin to be by family, and he had been a Wisconsin resident before that, he had just happened to be living in Kenosha, but he did his apprenticeship in Illinois. And because of a one-year difference in terms of the length of apprenticeship, basically Wisconsin said, well, this isn't similar. If you want to be a plumber in Wisconsin, you have to start over with year one of an apprenticeship. And, you know, I actually would talk to school kids. It's like, how would you like it if you moved to Minnesota, you're in fourth grade now, and you have to start over in first grade? It just didn't make any sense to them. And so eventually we were able to make a few modifications and help his individual situation and a few other folks that were similarly situated. But, you know, ultimately, we talk about the workforce needs that we have in the state of Wisconsin, and we can't even have conversations with people to be able to continue in their existing professions with the way that a lot of the lines are drawn up in terms of people that we would want to have here in Wisconsin. And so it's really important that we have those easy transitions in as many areas as possible. But yeah, I mean, certainly we have huge issues when people are, you know, looking to start a job in Wisconsin, and they're basically told that there's nobody that can see you right now. They can't tell you why things that you submitted aren't showing up. And it really, it's a huge mess for folks that kind of throw up their hands, and we later find out decided to go to another state that didn't have those same hurdles in place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people graduate their program. They want to be able to start in the field. And when we don't allow for those opportunities, we're going to lose out.
I heard from someone in your office today earlier who provided a particular example that seems spot on. Somebody reached out to your office saying that they were seeking assistance from you in getting her nurse practitioner license approved. She said that she filed the application with DSPIS in October, and as of this morning, we're in mid-February, was still waiting for approval. She had already accepted a job as a nurse practitioner at a health clinic on the west side of the state. So there's already an employer who's willing to say, we think you have the credentials, the skills, the experience that we need to bring you on. We want you here. But the state, from between October and mid-February, would not give her the credential that she needs. Now, the good news is that after your office intervened, DSPIS apparently got back very quickly and said, oh, yeah, we were just hung up on one thing, and now we've accomplished that, and we've given her license. So, but more often than not, people wait for months, and they don't realize that they can contact maybe their state representative or their senator who can maybe help expedite this process. And they sit day after day by the phone, looking on the website, emailing, and month after month passes, and they have no idea, can I start my job? When will I get this license? You've both heard this in committee hearings and from people who have called your office, people crying, you know, just so frustrated. I want to work, and yet I can't get any answers out of the state agency that needs to approve my license.
Yeah, you know, I have flashbacks to when I was chair of the Workforce Development Committee, and we were dealing with DWD during the pandemic, and we had everybody basically being shut down by the government in terms of their jobs and being forced onto unemployment compensation. Just the desperation that people had in, you know, in that case, in terms of trying to be able to continue their income. Now, within DSPIS, it's people being able to start their careers when they have everything ahead of them waiting. And it really is something where, you know, right now we have the whole issue of folks working, you know, especially in DSPIS, 2 days in the office, 3 days at home. That has an impact on plan reviews from the construction side of things. But certainly for people that are trying to get the technical assistance or show up at Hill Farms, and there are plenty of people who have expecting to go to a government building during regular office hours, and they find nobody there to help them. And that's exactly the sort of desperate problems that we had, you know, with unemployment compensation, where, yes, as legislators, and certainly me as the chair at that time, I had some connections to be able to get people answers, but that's not what it should take for people to be able to get through. And it really was so sad to see people just at the end of their rope and, you know, finally contacting legislators, because that was the only way that they could get any sort of a callback.
Folks, I'm interrupting real quick to remind you that productions like these are only able to exist with support from individuals just like you. If you find value in this program, we're hoping you may want to give just a little bit of value back. The Badger Institute is a nonprofit organization that strives to create opportunity and protect liberty for all Wisconsinites. We do not accept government funding and rely solely on the generosity of individuals like yourself to support our policy and advocacy work. To learn more or make a donation, visit badgerinstitute.org.
Representative Sortwell, you heard probably several times during the study committee that if only the legislature would approve more funds or would allow for more positions at DSPIS, that would take care of the issue. How do you respond to that?
My response to that is pretty simple, which is, you know, it is possible. They might be right. They may need some additional staffing, but they're not giving us the information we need to really make more finessed decisions to try to adjust certain things. And so that's one of the frustrations we've had in the committee, in my regular committee, is saying, look, you need to provide us with information. As Senator Jacques brought up, you know, people are still working from home. Okay, there's an argument to be made that maybe you're creating efficiencies by doing that. Then show us the data. Show us that, you know, the guy working from home on average is going through 50 applications an hour, and the guy working in Madison is only doing 40 applications per hour. I mean, if you could show us the data, then by all means, work from home. I mean, I'm not somebody who's going to deny the data if you can provide that to me. If you could show us that, look, this is how many we can get through, and, you know, it doesn't matter where they are, whatever, this is the max we can get out of it. Okay, well, now we have to figure out what we could do to fix that. I mean, there's basically three different options we have for trying to, you know, fix the backlog issue. We can cut down on their labor, we can increase their workforce, or we can fight efficiencies. I mean, those are your three options. And I mean, some of the things that we have coming out of the study committee and some of the things that we're working on right now in my office should improve efficiencies. I'm not against necessarily giving them additional staffing, but one thing they really pushed for, and I told them there is no way in hell I am ever going to approve this, is they want to turn budgetary authority over to that agency so that they simply get all the fees and decide how many staffing positions they want and how they're going to spend the money coming in. I looked at him and I looked at the ranking member of my regular committee on that issue when he brought that issue up. And I'm like, no, that is a straight up constitutional issue in our state constitution, giving budgetary authority to the legislature. There's no way I'm going to do that. You want to get more positions? Well, justify the positions. But to justify the positions, you need the data. So start giving us data. Stop being so secretive about this. And I will say that I believe that there have been improvements at DSPS over the last 6 months. I'm not saying it's perfect by any means, but I think there have been improvements in simply put, because I think the secretary that's in the place right now seems to actually care about it, care about the issues. And actually, I'm going to be meeting with the secretary one-on-one, I think next week. So hopefully we can continue to make some progress, and hopefully we can get his buy-in on some of the reforms that we'll be pushing through on universal license recognition, graduates being basically licensed right away in a lot of their occupations, so they don't really have to wait for approval, maybe privatizing some of the licensing rather than have those being done by the government. So there's a number of ideas that we're looking at here, and hopefully we can make some headway on that.
You've both mentioned reciprocity or universal recognition, and over the past 5 years, 18 states have passed some form of universal recognition, making it easier for those who move across state lines to continue practicing their profession. During the study committee, Representative Sortwell, you heard from a gentleman whose name is DeAndre Nunn. He is an assistant professor of occupational therapy at Mount Mary University. And he testified that he was licensed in occupational therapy in 4 states, Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, and Florida. And yet it still took him more than 8 months to get his Wisconsin license. And then it was only because he got a lobbyist and his legislative offices involved. And it actually threatened their school's accreditation because they were going through an accreditation process. And he was not licensed to be teaching occupational therapy there, even though he was licensed in 4 other states. So tell me a little bit about either one of you.
Sure.
What would a reciprocity or universal recognition bill do, and how would that help?
Well, you know, it's been frustrating because I had a conversation with the ranking Democrat on my committee on that issue. And I said to him, I said, this is not a partisan issue. If you look around the country, a lot of Democrats have been supportive of these policy changes. Unfortunately, I don't understand why, but there's a resistance to that among Democrats here in Wisconsin. I don't know where that's coming from, because Missouri passed on a bipartisan fashion. New Jersey, for crying out loud, is a pretty darn blue state, and they've got a universal recognition bill of some type. But I prefer universal license recognition to reciprocity or to compacts. Those are both good ideas, but they take longer, because you have to get buy-in from the other states, right? Because reciprocity is, hey, we'll approve Minnesota's, Minnesota will approve ours. That's great. Compacts are the same thing, but at a wider scale. Universal license recognition, the idea of it is, and there could be some guardrails, but the general rule is, if you are licensed as an engineer in Arizona or Hawaii or California or Texas, you can come to Wisconsin and be an engineer today. It's that fast. And so that's the idea, but that's one of the bills we've been working on. We're still fine-tuning some things. That's why it's not out there just yet. But basically, it is set up so that as long as you are licensed in another state, then the day that you apply basically for a license in Wisconsin, you can then practice immediately with the license from your other state. So you still have to tell Wisconsin that, hey, I'm an engineer. I'm from Texas. I want to start working here. So here's my application. But the day that you apply, you can start working in Wisconsin.
So Governor Chris Sununu in New Hampshire delivered his annual budget address last week and called for bold occupational licensing reforms, including reciprocity or universal recognition. But he also said, we are committed to breaking down regulatory barriers, lowering the cost of entry to do business here, increasing free market competition. And he said that he also wanted to outright eliminate 34 existing licenses, as well as 14 regulatory boards. Do you, either one of you, feel like that's something that the legislature might try to address in this coming session? The overwhelming number of licenses and other credentials that we have, that there are ways we can get some, you know, low-hanging fruit. Bartenders, for instance, Wisconsin regulates bartenders, and it's not a real high hurdle. So there's not, it wouldn't really affect much to eliminate that. And most states do not have any sort of licensing requirement for bartenders. So that seems like it would be just easy, low-hanging fruit to say, let's not do that anymore. And maybe just go down the list of other professions where they're not either licensed in neighboring states or other states, or the ability to make the argument that this is really about public safety just isn't there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's one of the things that I actually mentioned to the secretary-designee when he sat down in my office. The Badger Institute, of course, had the report with, I think it was at least 16 professions to start with, where there's a fee charged, but essentially no significant qualifications otherwise required. And it reminds me of one of Governor Doyle's budgets when they basically created this database of contractors where they were collecting a fee and there was absolutely no service provided at all. And that's something that actually I've been involved with this previously in relation to regulation of farmers markets and egg sales and any number of other things where there are fees that are collected, but no service being provided. You know, this is a big issue as far as economic portability in terms of bringing people to Wisconsin. And we have to basically not put up disincentives for people to want to consider doing something here. And every time that we charge a fee, I mean, there better be a service provided. And again, you know, like if there's not a public safety component to it either, then you know, what's the purpose? So that's something that I'm waiting to see the secretary designee's response.
Yeah, I would just say on that, I'm always looking for that opportunity. But what I will say is, I don't think any of these smaller licenses that we might be looking at, say dance therapists. I look at dance therapists, and in my personal opinion, yeah, probably shouldn't be licensed. That's my personal opinion on it. And maybe I could get that through because I think there's like a dozen people in the state that are licensed on that. But once again, that's not really fixing any of the systemic problems at DISPIS. I mean, if I get rid of 6 licenses, they have to renew every year because I think it's a biannual license. So they renew half of them every year. Okay, that doesn't really change their workload. That's not going to really change the system. So we could do that with some of these smaller ones. So I'm willing to look at those, but I really think that there are much bigger issues that we have to look at if we're really going to actually fix some of the problems. And so, and we also have to keep in mind too, that some of these licenses are, you know, intermediary licenses that sometimes are established by the industry actually as a way of, to an extent, deregulating. So I just had a group in my office just the other day. They have a license currently and they want to allow, and there's a number of different things that obviously they can do and people who aren't licensed are not allowed to do. But what they said to me is, look, we would like to create a new license that's allowed to do, like, say, these half dozen things that we can do, but other people can't. But we want to allow kind of an intermediary thing. So you don't have to do as much schooling. You don't have to have as much experience. But we want to be able to hire people basically off the street and then train them to do these certain things. And so we still want that license, but we don't want, you know, we don't want them to have to go to school for, you know, several years, for instance. So we have to be careful too, that sometimes we'll have these intermediary ones that some of the industries ask for and were established as a way of, to an extent, deregulating. So it's a bit of a mixed bag on that.
And there are bills that would create a system where the state can routinely just review, is there a need for this license? Should this license continue to exist? There are sunrise bills that would examine the question at the outset. There are sunset bills that would go and review every 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, whether or not existing licenses need to continue to exist. And again, speaking to the bipartisan nature of this, there are states like Colorado, a relatively blue state, that does this very well. They are very thorough in terms of examining and re-examining the existence of licenses and eliminating ones or moving them down into to a lesser credentialing requirement. And they're very proud of that.
Well, not to belittle Colorado or anything, I like the idea of both sunrise and sunset provisions, particularly sunrise provisions. But what I heard at the study committee coming out of Colorado seems to be a whole lot of busy work with not a whole lot of results. They go through a whole process of looking at all this and justify, when all is said and done, they basically come back with, oh, we're all good. So that's the problem with these provisions, is if they're not And that's actually what I got from the Institute for Justice as well, as they said, well, yeah, sunset provisions, we like them in theory, but it's never seemed to have actually worked where they actually accomplished anything. And if there's something government is good at, it's putting together processes and a whole lot of work without accomplishing a whole lot of anything. And so I'm hesitant to follow Colorado's model on that if in fact they're just going through busy work. So I'd be more than happy to look at sunrise some more, sunset. I'm willing to be convinced again, but we have to show there is real results here and not just busy work.
Senator Jacques, any thoughts on sunrise or sunset approaches?
Reminds me of Fiddler on the Roof, that song.
It does, sunrise, I know. I just want to break sunset. Out.
You know, no particular thoughts on that. Just that, you know, again, we have to think a little bit about what areas can we actually get some bipartisan compromise in. It's very difficult to, you know, get those concessions from the administration in terms of, you know, basically a non-veto promise on certain things. But certainly, you know, I think we need to have a lot of discussions in committee and see what we can rally some support on.
And it's a shame because the need for licensing reform is one of the very few issues that has unified the Obama administration, the Trump administration, the Biden administration. As you said, we've seen reforms in New Jersey and Pennsylvania, blue states and red states. There's in so many places, it's not seen as a partisan issue. It's seen as a, let's allow people to work, let's allow people to flourish, let's allow people to pursue their occupations without a lot of state imposed red tape. And so that's really our hope. And we continue to make that case as we talk to people on both sides of the aisle as well. Well, Senator Jacques and Representative Sortwell, we really do appreciate your time, your insights, your expertise, and we wish you Godspeed as you proceed through this session.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is a really important topic, so thank you very much.